Hello, adults and with ADHD fam. We're in a bit of a transition right now, closing out the episodes on hormones for now, and entering a new series of episodes on trauma and ADHD. If there are other topics you'd love episodes on, please let me know by emailing me at contact@adultingwithadhd.com. And as always, to access older episodes of the show, please visit patreon.com/adultingwithadhd. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support and happy adulting.
The Adulting with ADHD podcast is not a substitute for medical advice. Please see a medical professional if you think you have ADHD or if you have questions about your current treatment.
This is the Adulting with ADHD podcast, self-empowerment for people with ADHD. Today, I'm very excited to have with me Alabama-based author and host of the Imperfectly Polished podcast, Alicia Crossley. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm so excited to get to connect with your audience, with you, and honestly, just talk to another adult today. It's really exciting.
Amen to that. I feel exactly the same way. So Alicia reached out to me, actually, and I was really excited to hear from her. And she has a lot of experience that really resonates with the heart of the podcast. And I'm just going to kick it over to you, Alicia, and you can share your diagnosis story with us.
I was going to say, honestly, Sarah, reaching out to you was an immediate thing. Jumping into the podcast world has been really exciting and fun. And I said, we should name the show Things Alicia Crossley Needs Every Week, or What Alicia Crossley Needs to Learn More About, because I feel like where I seek guests and the shows that I'm on, it's always really what I need to know more about. And that's what you have been for me this last year, being diagnosed at 35. I've learned so much from the resources that you have, and the Facebook community has been amazing. So thank you for having these resources for people like me, for women like us. It has really made a difference.
Great. I'm happy to hear that. So you were diagnosed at 35. So that was
The really interesting, I guess, just going back, not from the day I was born, we'll go a little bit about that, but sure. Going back and looking at very textbook story that a year ago would not have said I knew was the textbook story, right? Diagnosed with anxiety through my teenage years, struggled with PMDD after having children. And looking back at the different times that I really struggled, it was during seasons of hormonal fluctuation, whether that was as an adolescent going through puberty, experiencing panic attacks for the first time, as a new mother, really struggling with my mental health and feeling just a complete sense of hopelessness and loss of identity. I never was really aware, and just so many women out there, of how much it was affecting me. And I think, you know, one of the main things, and I know you've talked about this, Sarah, and we are aware of this, as women especially, there's such an expectation for us to have it together. As women, as mothers, as new mothers, the expectation we place on ourselves and society places on us, the idea that we're not doing that, it automatically allows us to feel like a failure. So much of that masking and hiding behind that through my 20s and early 30s was pushing through, as I always had, in fear of looking like the failure I felt like. Because the only thing worse than actually admitting your failure, right, is for everyone to know around you. And, you know, we were just joking. I finally just said, I'm a hot mess, and I'm really good at being a hot mess, and I'm good at doing things that aren't messy too. So we're going to put that podcast out there, Imperfectly Polished. But for the most part, the looking back at those early years, I can see, and I think many of us who are diagnosed later in life can see where it was missed time and time again. So this last appointment, this first appointment really with my first psychiatrist, I was always just diagnosed through my general doctor, through my OB. Yeah. That's who we're seeing all the time, usually during our childbearing years. And finally, I was at my cardiologist. My family has a history of heart problems, so being proactive.
And yep. Same here.
Yeah. Heart disease, what's up? No, but you know, like we're being proactive. And that's one of the things, honestly, I put off too long because hi, ADHD, that's a normal thing too. We forget about those routine appointments. But talking to the cardiologist, about the issues I was having with focus. And I told him, I said, look, I'm okay going on my blood pressure medicine, but I need to go ahead and tell you I'm drinking a lot of caffeine. And I'm starting to take these energy pills because I'm having so much trouble. And he was like, wait, what is going on? I was like, you know, I own a business. I have 3 children. And he said, but Alicia, have you always had the problems with the focus, with the energy? You know, we're going through all these things. And I'm like, well, kind of, but you know, I have anxiety. I've been on Prozac since having children, and maybe I just need a new antidepressant. And it was my cardiologist who said, I want you to go see a psychiatrist and I have a good recommendation for you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, cute. This is great. I'm all about being healthy, right? We're already here. Right. Let's make the appointment. So yeah. Going in to the virtual Zoom call with the first appointment with my psychiatrist, I was really expecting Sarah to have a different dosage of my Prozac or another SSRI added or something of that sort.
Right. Yeah.
So without me realizing it, Dr. Smith is my psychiatrist and she's on the phone this Zoom call during the pandemic, the early parts of the pandemic. And I didn't even realize it, but she was screening me for ADHD. We talked for 2 hours. Yeah.
Wow.
We talked for 2 hours. And I really felt like I was more in a therapy session. And I'm bawling my eyes out sitting on this call telling her, I can't sit still anymore and read books with my children. I love being a mom, but I feel like I can't be present. And it's like my mind, even when I don't have things to do, I can't concentrate on just being still. And so I'm going through the different things that had worsened at that point. And she said, Alicia, what you're explaining to me is ADHD. Have you ever been diagnosed with that or any of your doctors ever mentioned that? I said, no. And as a child, I grew up, Sarah, in a household where we did not have access to medical care. It was not the norm to go for checkups or to the doctor when there was a broken bone and it was a really disheveled childhood in regards to growing up. Both of my parents were addicts. They've since lost their struggle with addiction. And all of that to say, there was a lot going on that I was pushing through as a child. And again, so many reasons why. It was not caught, right? I was a good student. I was eager to please. That was my survival technique through my childhood, was the affirmation of my teachers. And fortunately, that helped me survive. And so as we continue through and Dr. Smith says that, I almost laugh because again, I was a good student. I went to undergrad and grad school and scholarship. I have 2 college degrees. I own a business that I'm really proud of. And yeah, you know, I'm late a lot and I can't sit still. And yeah, I forget things a lot and I do interrupt people and I have problems with input. And the more I'm like, I'm like, okay, yeah. So I start hyper-focusing on the hyper-focus at that point. And over this last year with resources like yours, I've learned so much. And Dr. Smith did prescribe Vyvanse for me. And I know everyone has a different journey with how they treat their ADHD. That's one of my tools. And it has been, I know so many people use this analogy, but like putting on glasses for the first time. And I remember telling my friends, my close friends, of course, now we talk about it on the podcast, and I tell the whole world about it. But those first few weeks talking about the ADHD and, you know, I was just diagnosed and several of my friends said, we thought you already knew. What do you mean you were just diagnosed?
They knew before you.
Yeah, they're like, what do you mean you didn't know? We thought you were just like not medicated and not dealing with it. And we're like, I was like, okay, this is great, guys. Thanks. You know, so
that's hilarious.
But ultimately that brings us up to where I am now, where we are now. And in many ways, and I know today talking about the hormonal fluctuations and how that has impacted the journey, I kind of got it all in 1 year, 35, 36. Yeah. It was really in hindsight, I think, Sarah, that age and I know from research, the average diagnosis for women not diagnosed as a child is 36 to 38. And so, you know, yeah, we talk about that chicken and egg. So which one is it? And I fully feel for me that perimenopause, the hormonal fluctuations that really started post-childbearing years for me, always being sensitive to those changes prior, looking at my cycles, but that ultimately is what made the ADHD symptoms more apparent. and more problematic. So again, that chicken egg, which one was it that made the other one? They both are just, and it's that double whammy we talk about. I was fortunate to get both gifts in one year.
Oh my, that's incredible. Yeah. If it doesn't get you in puberty, if you have it, it's going to get you in perimenopause. Yeah. During COVID, no less.
These are great gifts. These are awesome. And at the same time, one of the things I talked about yesterday, I spoke virtually to a book club and talking about just how thankful I am to have the access to medical care now. One of the pieces I'm working on is about how my medicine bottle has my name on it. And my mother spent her life reaching for a bottle that was nameless, labelless, because she didn't have that access. She struggled with anxiety. She self-medicated through it. And my father struggled, definitely, Sarah, in hindsight, you know, of course, now that I'm a Google doctor, totally official here. But looking back at my dad's struggles, his drug of choice was cocaine. And he didn't use it recreationally. He was using it to focus. He tried to handle it until it handled him. So both of them, because of the lack of resources, resorted to that self-medication. And I'm just so thankful that calling the psychiatrist, being able to say, oh, okay, sure, I'll go to a specialist. Because we have insurance, because we have those resources, it's been a hard journey and it is hard to come to terms with it. But that's the one thing that has been time and time again in the back of my mind, how different my journey is compared to my parents because of that access.
I think about that a lot as well. My mother also fell through the cracks of the system. And so I think about that probably daily, especially with children.
That's what I was going to say. With Gabby.
She has three children. You know, she had three children. She had undiagnosed stuff going on. And just also culturally, I think you mentioned this too, just that wasn't a thing. Like, at least for me growing up, it wasn't a thing. It was like, unless your bone was breaking, that was it. And we joke about the latchkey generation and benign neglect. But I think there was an impact from that. And I'm glad we're finally getting the care we need. And I too am grateful that we're in a different place now in our society. But
wonderful just for us as mothers, as women, because obviously it impacts our well-being. And I know we're going to talk about some of the things in addition to, you know, the medical care side of it, other things that we're doing to manage the symptoms of both ADHD and these hormonal fluctuations. But for you and I being moms, and so many of the women in your audience being mothers, the fact that we have this availability, that we are listening to this podcast, talking on this podcast, means that we're more informed than so many people have had the opportunity to be, and that have the access to be even now. It's going to change our children's lives, not just our, you know, generations to come. And again, I guess for me too, that has been one of the things that I've clung to, and the grieving process of first being diagnosed and feeling, okay, wait, that explains everything, and a little bit of relief there. But then grieving that the things that happened, that, you know, the what ifs, and I try not to live in those what ifs, but what if I had known at 16, at 26, how much of that postpartum depression could have been alleviated, avoided, how much of the binge eating, if at all, would have been a problem. I actually had gastric sleeve 4 years ago. And that was, again, one of the first steps of the tool, because the physical aspect wasn't the problem. It was the emotional aspect. But that impulse control, Sarah, you know, I know so many of your listeners experienced that too, that new diagnosis later in life. The thing that has been a really positive thing for me to cling to is the fact that, thank God, I have the opportunity to have the medical care. There are so many what ifs and so many things we can look back and agonize over, but it doesn't move us forward.
I don't know if you've ever been put on a waiting list, but therapy is hard to come by these days. If you need therapy and you need someone to talk to, consider BetterHelp. I've been using BetterHelp on and off since the pandemic, and it's honestly been really helpful when I can't reach my normal therapist. To save 10% off your first month, visit betterhelp.com/ADHD adulting. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ADHD adulting.
Yeah, that's a very helpful point of view. It's one that I've had to begrudgingly accept. You're probably a lot like me. Our listeners are too. You want to understand it all and you want to have the answers and you want those answers now.
Yeah.
And having to accept that there's just some things that are not going to make sense, especially with hormones. It's so frustrating, but at the same time, it's like, this is where we're at. It is what it is, you know, but I would love to hear about things you are doing. Yeah, let's absolutely jump into it. What's been helping you?
For me at this point, there are a lot of different, and just like you said, we want to know the answer. And there are so many answers, plural, digging into those and having to figure out what works for you. And so the first thing I would say is learning how to be patient. Not something I'm naturally good at. Okay. You might as well tell me, just focus, Alicia. But for me, anyways, if I'm aware of what's happening, if I'm diligent about being mindful with the calendar, I can keep myself present not to get frustrated with the symptoms and with what's happening. And one problem, one symptom at the time, one medication at a time. And instead of waiting 2 or 3 days and, oh, this medicine's not working, or I need to have a lower dosage, or maybe we should add this, dedicating and committing to a 90-day regimen when it comes to medicine or a new calendar. So yeah. And so one of the things that I use to keep record of that, I use an app called Flow. And I know there are so many different apps out there.
Yeah.
I don't have any I don't think I have any affiliate links. If I do, I'll let you know if I have any discount codes, but I don't think so. This is just an app I literally use all the time. And so daily, in the morning, as soon as I take my medicine and get up, that's the first thing I do is program in anything that I feel, how my sleep was. I feel irritable. There's emotional aspects to it, physical aspects you can put in. It's very user friendly. Wow. You can put in the medication that you're taking that day. So it's not just an ability to keep up with your actual cycle. It's really great because for all of my doctors and myself, I can go and print out a report and see, okay, for the last however many months that I've kept this, here are the days consistently that I'm experiencing sadness or irritability or detachment. Here are the days where I'm experiencing back pain and cramps, you know, whatever it is. And then making those notes, I can look at it and not only know here's when I can expect my cycle to start, where it is rather, and then when I can expect my period to start, but also here are the days where I really feel like my medicine's not working. And when is it consistently like that? So having done this now for about 7 months with this app, we're pretty zoned in. And again, this is the beauty of the ADHD, like the hyper-focus.
Motivated.
Can't wash the dishes for 5 days in a row, but I am not going to miss recording the fact that I have irritability. So this is what I'm focused on, but it has been such a learning process. And it's really important to me to, at this early in the game, to be proactive with it. And so seeing that 10 to 12 days before the first day of my period is when I start feeling that the medicine isn't working as well. I start feeling, just when I wake up, a sense of dread. And that's the best way to describe it. It's not depression as much as it's just, oh, I just don't want to do life today. Like, I just want to stay right here. And not that I ever want to just bound out of my bed. I'm not a huge morning person, but it's a very deep sense of just not wanting to move, to go. And it gets worse and worse until that first day. So talking to my doctor about that, one thing that's really incredible is that it empowers me when I go in to speak with my doctors, because it's not just, and unfortunately, so many times women aren't taken seriously when we go in and complain, oh, I feel sad or I feel moody around my period. Well, of course you do. It's your period. It's
fine. Right. Silly Billy.
All rainbows. So having this really equips me to go in and talk with my doctors and say, it's these days. It's not just, oh, every once in a while, but very specific. And Dr. Smith has been amazing. And she said, you know what? This is great. We know that the hormonal fluctuations definitely affect your ADHD symptoms. We're going to prescribe a booster for you to take during these days. And
okay. Wonderful.
Yeah. And so like, she has been amazing. And been very helpful, Sarah, for sure, is having the records and being consistent and patient, waiting to see those results, being realistic, knowing that those 10 to 12 days is going to get harder for me. I don't put anything elective on myself that I can bypass. I still have kids. No one comes for 10 to 12 days and takes the kids over or takes my business over or pretends to be Patrick's wife. I still have to play all of my hats, all of my roles.
Yep.
But it's not when we're going to schedule a big family trip. It's not when I'm going to volunteer to go speak or really even be on a podcast early in the morning, because I know it takes until around midday for me to even feel like I can function well during that week. So as much as you can, having the availability to be flexible through that time. And again, just being proactive. I think being an advocate for yourself, refusing to take what is said to you at face value if it's not what you feel is what's best. Right now, even my OB is very adamant that I should have a hysterectomy, a partial hysterectomy, because the cramps are bad. The cramps are, that's not going to fix the main issues. And I know that. And the trouble with healing from a hysterectomy, I don't have time for a hysterectomy. I'm like, I have to wait 7 months before I have time in between shooting weddings and, writing. And I literally don't. And so I'm working really hard, literally in this week, I've just started some new supplements. And I'm also working with a hormonal specialist out of state, doing some new blood work, because it's very timely. If you're going to have your hormones tested, you can't just go in for your regular appointment and say, okay, check my estrogen. That's one day out of your cycle, right? The whole
thing
is changing, and possibly erratically in your progesterone and your testosterone.
Yeah.
So many things that our doctors, just our OBs, aren't checking.
Right. So
I do have that resource. They've helped my husband immensely. He had an imbalance with his own hormones and with his thyroid. And so they're out of Orlando. And they do remote work. It's amazing. But I've added krill oil, sunflower oil. I did have all of my levels tested and was low with vitamin D and common. So, I would never recommend starting supplements before having a general workup of your vitamin intake, so seeing where that is. But I definitely now, I feel more empowered just knowing that I'm using these. This is the first month. And I will say, even though I haven't gotten to the dreaded 10 to 12 days yet with the new supplements, I do on a daily right now feel better. I feel more balanced is the best way to say it. I think always, though, as our hormones continue to change, we have to continue to adapt. And again, just being flexible and that self-awareness. I interviewed a wonderful, she's a meditation teacher named Sandy Vo. And she says that being self-aware is self-care. And I thought that was really beautiful. A lot of times for moms and busy women out there with all the things we're doing, it's hard to be active and caring for ourselves. And really sometimes in the season, it's just being self-aware, giving yourself that gift of listening and being present with your body and your mind and knowing what's going on.
That's so spot on. I have found that to be the case too. I think I mentioned this on an earlier episode, but I Claire on here, she's an accountability coach. And that something she said to me that really resonated is very similar. And I was talking about being late or something or missing deadlines or something. But long story short, the gist of it was meeting your deadlines can be a form of self-care. Like setting yourself up for success. Like I had never framed it like that, you know.
Yeah, I love that. Giving yourself the opportunity to succeed, Calendar, for instance, I've gotten to where I schedule everything. Yes. And it really helps me. If you told me 2 years ago, I was so anti-schedules. And it's not my natural thing. And it's the irony of it all is I've been married for 17 years and my husband is a project manager. He's an engineer.
Oh.
And it's like, talk about the challenge of a lifetime.
That's funny.
It is funny. Oh, so funny in our house so much. Oh, we laugh a lot. But honestly, at the same time, there have been so many resourceful things. Now that I understand that it's ADHD, my lens is very different. I used to get so frustrated with his advice and the things he would tell me. And now it's like, okay, yeah. And here's how that works for me, because I now know how that's different than his neurotypical brain. And we're both learning that. And it's been really amazing. And I totally agree with you, though. It's that opportunity the time it takes to even learn about this, to research, to listen to a podcast, to look for more resources. For me at this season, that is my ideal self-care, is understanding myself and how to be a better me for those around me, but also for myself, because it has to start with our internal dialogue, that internal monologue of how we feel throughout the day and that narrative we're telling ourselves. I fully agree. Setting yourself up for that level of success is self-care.
Absolutely. Tell our listeners more about your podcast and where we can find you and keep up with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I hope you guys will follow along. It's really a beautiful hot mess over here. It's really the podcast itself, Imperfectly Polished. The idea is showing up in the most broken and beautiful, most authentic way and connecting with others, finding community. Because really that's where life happens, when we open up and talk about these struggles. And here's what has helped me. Here's what hasn't helped me. Here's how I have failed. Here's how I'm still failing. But it's not a before and after and everything's great and terrific. It is I'm doing life every day to the best of my ability. And let's help each other learn more. So from owning a business to writing a book to mental health and parenting, it's a lot. It's a grab bag of empowerment for especially.
I love that.
I know. I love grab bags. Literally, I remember that reminded me as a child at the thrift store. I remember going with my grandmother on Saturdays, and literally there would be a section of just these plastic bags, and they were small toys, and they were all gathered together and like one price. And I used to love I got to pick out one of those on a Saturday morning, and I would just love going home and going through it. I guess my show is like that plastic bag at the thrift store. And I say that lovingly. And so you might find some crap that you give away to a friend. You might need to throw some of it away. Two or three of the things are going to be like some of the best things you ever get. And you're like, I can't believe I just found this in this bag. So that is the podcast. And we're on everywhere you would listen to a podcast, Spotify, Apple. AliciaCrossley.com has all of my resources, from the podcast to the wedding photography is Alicia Crossley Photography. It's so self-indulgent. I'm thinking about all the podcasts and like, I'm like Alicia Crossley Photography, AliciaCrossley.com, but it's easy to find. And then we are getting ready to launch for the entrepreneurial creative woman. We work a lot with photographers, a lot with interior designers, wedding planners, artists, and we're about to launch our second round of group coaching called the Artisan's Advantage. And the idea is building a life and business worth leading that you identify and define what success looks like, not the industry. So a lot of deep diving into ideal client influencer, your market, personal growth strategy, your why behind that. It's equal amounts of tangible, technical task and really encouraging empowerment behind it. So that'll be launching at the beginning. I don't know when we'll have this out, but it'll be launching in October. So
excellent. Well, Alicia, thank you so much for being here with us today, and hope to have you on again sometime. You have so many wonderful stories and experiences to draw from.
You're so kind, Sarah. Thank you for the platform, and again, for everything that you're doing. It's such a rich resource, and you're very much appreciated by many.
Oh, thank you very much.